Your mic's not on.
Oh. You want me to start over?
I'd like to call. I can leave it on? Okay. I'd like to call to order the special meeting of the Tacoma Civil Service Board for October 25th of 2023. May we have the roll call, please?
Yes. Board Member Sexton?
Here.
Chair Hansen?
Here.
Board Member Wick?
Here.
Board Member Heller?
Here.
Board Member Klein?
Here.
Deputy City Attorney Martha Lance?
Here.
Roll call.
Oh, okay, thank you. And do we have a motion to approve the minutes for September 7th of 2023?
So moved.
Second. We have any discussion or amendments, ideas for amendments to those minutes?
A couple amendments. So on page one, under Board Member Heller, I need an on after the comma.
We've lost audio. We can't hear you.
Now, can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah. I would have put it back, but it's been disabled.
What was that?
She would have put it in the chat, but it's been disabled.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Do I need to start over? Corey, do you want me to start over?
No, that's what.
Okay. So on the bottom of the first page, section Board Member Heller, line 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right after the and, please delete that I felt that. It doesn't make sense in the sentence. I probably said it, but in hindsight, let's edit it. And then page... six, under Board Member Heller, second line, it says, like we did in the past, comma, or the rule of five. So there needs to be an or in there. Page nine. Under Board Member Heller, the next to last line, it should be instead of not restricting it, period, delete by and capitalize the G for starting a new sentence, giving you. Those are all my changes. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All in favor of the motion to approve the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Next item is the action on matters still pending new business, and that includes discussion and potential vote on the residency preference program. Discussion and potential vote on residence requirement and changes to and discussion on changes to Tacoma Municipal Code. And one of the reasons why we're having this meeting is that I did not understand what Board Member Heller was trying to do at our last meeting where we voted on the residency requirement issue. And so we've clarified that, and I wanted to give Board Member Heller an opportunity to explain what she wants to do and how she wants to, and the procedure to use to do that. And so I'm going to turn everything over to Board Member Heller, and then we can discuss everything.
Thank you, Chair Hansen. So I brought copies again. I think it's helpful to look at what it is I'm proposing and in being able to, I brought one for Ms. Lance.
Oh, okay.
And
oh, lucky.
Thank you.
Oh, okay.
And Ms. Hobson and Ms. Fritz.
Can I just ask a procedural question? Does Board Member Wick have a copy? If somebody could email it to her, or
I
maybe put it in. Can you put it? Send it to her in the chat, or the chat's disabled for this.
I had given Board Member Wick a copy at the last meeting. Do you have that available, Board Member Wick?
Yeah, if you can do it, just a second, I'll grab her.
Okay, great. No different from what I handed out last time. So I'll wait for Board Member Wick to come back, though.
I apologize. Back of paper. Email it to me. I did.
Okay. Okay. I think I can do that. I don't see.
I think I can. I have it.
You have it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, perfect. Okay. Ms. Lance is going to forward that to you. All right. So in reviewing the rules, the board rules, one of the things that I saw is that we need to, the board sets things forward for first reading, not an individual board member. So my motion, and then I'll talk more about my intent. My motion is that the board set this proposed rule change forward for a first reading for the regular November meeting, as I've submitted to everyone.
Mr. Chairman?
Board Member Sexton?
Do we need to vote on that motion? Or we discuss that motion?
We just, if I could get a second, then we could discuss it. Thank you, Board Member Sexton.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. Discussion?
Okay. So apparently I was not clear last time as what my intent was. So this is a, and I'll read it for those members in the audience. It's a change to section 1.24.45, which is the residency section. It starts a new C section under residency, which reads, in all competitive examinations, City of Tacoma residents shall be given a preference by adding 2 passing grade based on a possible rating of 100 points as perfect. Subsection 1, to receive such credit, documentation should be presented to the HR director or designee either with application or prior to the appointment of the position in the form of subsection A, a driver's license or official Washington State ID address card, subsection B, a current utility bill, giving examples of electricity, natural gas, water, sewer. subsection C, a mortgage bill or current rental agreement.
We've lost you. It's been muted.
Board Member Wick?
You're back.
You're back.
Thank okay.
You.
Where did I lose you?
D.
D?
D.
Okay. Subsection D, in competitive examinations, comma, where two or more candidates have equal qualifications, comma, including performance evaluations, interviews, and other testing preference must be given to City of Tacoma residents. What my intent was to create a residency preference system similar and mirroring the type of preference points given to the veterans. The way I saw it is this is a standalone regardless of the residency requirement. In that, when you have open competitive positions that are being hired for, you can have a variety of different types of candidates from this perspective. You can have an internal resident, current employee. You can have an internal non-resident current employee. You could have an external resident non-employee. I mean, resident who's not currently an employee. You could have an external applicant that is a resident of the City of Tacoma. So you could have both residents and non-residents for both internal applicants and external applicants. So if you have under our current residency waiver through the end of December, if this were in place, so with the residency waiver, you have potentially four different kinds of applicants. Without a residency waiver, so you're saying that you have in only residents can apply externally, you would still have both residents and non-residents that could apply internally. So the point system, I think, is an applicable, potentially applicable process, whether we have a residency requirement or not, it could apply. So I'm looking at proposing this as a standalone position and a rule change, regardless of whether we have a residency requirement or not, as we currently have a residency waiver through the end of the year. So there would be potentially four types of applicants. And if we didn't have a residency waiver in the future, then you would have three types of applicants, but it would still be something that's appropriate because you would still have non-resident internal applicants. So does that make more sense?
I have a comment. I just want for a point of clarification. So my understanding would be is that subsection C does not apply to non-employee, non-residents. Is that correct?
Right. It would not apply to non-employee, non-residents. It would also not apply to employee, non-residents. The point system would only be something that would apply to residents. And again, if an employee who is a resident but did not want to supply the documentation, they would not have to. You know, it's not a requirement. It's an option to them. It's a requirement that we offer it. It's not a requirement that they have to provide this documentation and have to have the points.
I just have one other comment. So that, so actually this would be kind of a friendly amendment to the motion that we already passed, which is to have the residency requirement. Is that correct?
Yes, if the maker of that motion would accept it as a friendly amendment. I don't
remember. Who was the maker of that motion?
I don't remember.
We'd have to look back on the record.
Can I just ask a clarifying question just to make sure I understand where we're at in the parliamentary procedure? So as I understood it from reviewing the minutes of the last meeting, is where it was left was the residency requirement exists, and it exists for two reasons. It exists because it's in charter, and then the code mirrors that. So the residency requirement at this moment is a default. What the board can control is the waiver, and the way that you all left it was no blanket waiver, potential opportunities for case-by-case waiver, but no blanket waiver starting 1/1/2024. Is that right?
That's correct. That's my understanding.
Okay. So right, I think that the motion, if there was a motion left that you're trying to amend, it would be, I'm not sure that those two things can work together.
She needs a separate.
Well, I would make it as a standalone motion then, that the board set this forward for first.
Which is how it's been treated so far this evening.
Right.
Sorry.
Okay. So, I do. Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, Chair Hansen, I just have a question of the maker of this motion. If in fact we did away with the blanket waiver, and if we take no other action, the only people that could legitimately take the examination and apply and expect to be hired would be Tacoma residents. So I'm trying to understand what the purpose of this is.
So externally, you're correct. The only people that could apply for an open competitive position externally with a residency requirement would be residents. But internally, both resident employees and non-resident employees can apply. Once you're a current employee, the residency requirement does not apply.
So you're attempting to have this applied just to promotions or someone trying to move to a different position that's already employed?
I wrote it to apply to all competitive examinations. So anytime you have a competitive process, a resident could apply for and get two additional points. And my other intent was not to restrict or bump anyone out. As we talked about with the last meeting with the rankings, you can have multiple people in a rank. So if the 2 points would bump a resident up into a rank that they don't currently hold, they're not going to bump anyone who's in that rank out. So it would allow the hiring manager potentially to consider more people rather than less people for their competitive appointment.
I have to think about it.
Well, that's why we have a first reading, which would be the November meeting, and then a second meeting, which would be the December meeting, so that there's lots of time to, you know, it's designed that way in the rules, to have lots of time to have discussion, to have stakeholders come, to have public comment, and make sure. And we also have time, once you put forward a proposal, it can still be amended until we pass it. So if there's a, you know, changes, or if I haven't written it in the best manner, I'm certainly open to discussing how to improve this to get to my intent.
Chair Hansen, if you don't mind, while we're still probing here, in the D, you talk about in a competitive examination, And then it ends with preference must be given to the city of Tacoma residents. They're given the 2 points, but you're saying if they're equal, and I assume that's after the 2 points are applied, they're equal? Because now, otherwise, if they got the 2 above the other, okay.
No, no, it's, so C is all about points. And D is saying that if you have a tie, when you've come to the end, if you have a tie in the hiring manager's opinion of 2 similarly situated candidates, and one's a resident and the other's a non-resident, the way I wrote it is that preference would be given to the resident.
Okay, then maybe my question would be of legal. The way I'm reading and interpreting what Board Member Heller is saying is that the hiring entity must hire. So it's really dictating the hiring process.
It only dictates in D is if the in the hiring manager's opinion, they have a tie between 2 applicants. So the hiring manager has a lot of objectivity, and you know, they get to subjectively decide how the employee interviewed, how potentially, you know, what the score on their exam was. Was there an oral board? Was there not an oral board? How did that go? How did they do on their tests? And how did they do on maybe multiple panel interviews?
Yeah.
And if at the very end of the whole process, the hiring manager says, I have 2 equally good candidates and I'm just not sure, go with the, my rule change here would say go with the resident.
Well, I think I know what you're saying, but If I would read this from a legal perspective, it's talking about competitive examinations, preference must be given. It doesn't say in hiring decisions, preference must be given. So it's kind of hanging in limbo where in an examination, so your preference in examination, what does that mean? You've already tied score, so what more would I do?
That's
yeah,
a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
So that, so I think we have to have that language clarified.
Right. No, I'm good with that.
Do you have any more comments, Board Member Klein?
Not at this time.
Okay.
Chair Hansen.
What?
Board Member Wick has her hand raised.
Okay. Board Member Wick, do you have a comment?
Well, I'm editing horribly. I'm sorry. If I don't know exactly in there, but it's I have a lot of questions about this. It seems to be going the opposite direction around inclusion and actually go further to restrict Tacoma residents only. I have concerns that hasn't been vetted in the whole. I have concerns about the process and procedure. I have a concern that we call the special meeting for this purpose. It feels rushed. I don't understand what the end is for the rush. It's been a year and a half, and we're all of a sudden trying to rush this a year in.
I have a little trouble following you.
I noticed that Director Fritz and Ms. Beidelman are getting anxious to provide their input on all of this, so I'm going to give you that opportunity right now.
Thank you, and thank you for providing me a copy of this at the last meeting. I don't have concern about the concept in general. I think it's a good one. It's very similar to what we were proposing. What I don't understand is the value add if we already have the residency requirement in place. I think in playing it out, how it would work is it would create even more complexity for candidates in the process than we already have. Our human resources analysts and specialists that manage these recruitments, it's gonna add additional work to their already big workload as our recruitments are expanding every year. And I think it's just going to be confusing. I would love to suggest that we consider adding this, but with a blanket residency waiver paired with it. I can see one or the other working well, and I think both ideas meet the intent of what we're trying to do here. But I think the double adding a point system on top of the residency requirement is going to be a little bit of a challenge. And Cheryl, did you have anything to add?
So in item D, where you talk about including performance evaluations, we don't actually have performance evaluations. So there's not a rating that you would be able to look at for an internal, for an existing employee. So that's something to be aware of. And then, yeah, I do agree that I would just reiterate what Director Fritz had to say about adding to the complexity.
The one thing I'll also add is I agree with the driver's license. I think we could use a passport too, but I wouldn't feel comfortable with somebody attaching their mortgage bill or utility bill, which is none of my business, to their application in NeoGov, because then it'd be a record. So maybe there are some other alternatives we could consider, but I think generally the ID would work just fine.
So, like I said, I have no problem, and I'm very open to how to make this better. I think that Board Member Klein's suggestion to change competitive examinations to hiring decisions was very valid, and I hear the need to strike performance evaluations from this language. So, although I'm concerned that we're not doing performance evaluation on our employees, as a side note, we used to in the past, and I did not know we had stopped doing performance evaluations. So just a note of concern there for the future.
If I may.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. We transitioned from a traditional performance evaluation system to a model much like that at Adobe, which is quarterly core conversations. So there isn't a written evaluation per se. It's more of a conversation that happens with each employee and has very specific guidelines that supervisors follow once a quarter.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Also to HR Director Fritz's comments on the dual, you know, the point of having a blanket residency and or this, I think that's going to be, we have currently a temporary blanket through the end of the year. So I think that's up to the next board, which is not my issue. So I'm hoping that we can go ahead and with the changes and continue to work on this and set this forward for first reading for the November meeting so that we can continue to work this.
Board Member Heller, would you mind if I asked a follow-up question? And I want to be clear that I'm not asking this to advance or detract from any policy statement. I just want to make sure that I understand so I can help get this ready for action.
Mm-hmm.
Going to the question that you were just speaking to that I think both Board Member Klein asked and Director Fritz followed up on, assuming that the blanket waiver doesn't continue, so we're back to default charter and code require residency, then you're in a situation where I guess I do have the question is what will happen? Because then only residents would ever be considered, except unless the board met case by case and waived.
Well, for external candidates, you're correct. Mm-hmm. But for internal candidates, when you have an open competitive appointment, you very likely have current employees that are trying. It may be promotionary for them. At the same time, it's open competitive to outside. So you would very likely have current employees that are non-residents. So you would have, in that scenario, three types of employees. You would have external residents, internal residents, and internal non-residents. So then the point system would apply to two out of the three types of candidates.
Sure, that makes sense to me from a legal construct, just, you know, drafting construct. Section B, I think, already says that there's no residency requirement. It doesn't need to be waived. It's just not even required for existing employees who are applying for an open job.
Correct.
So what the point is, I just want to make sure I understand, is that in that scenario, if one of those people that's not required to be a resident actually were a resident, then the preference, the points would give potentially them a little bit of an advantage. So we're honoring residency in that sense.
Correct. That's okay. The intent.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. But then I guess just to play out, you know, what would happen, and I understand that, you know, this belongs to a future board as to how to, you know, consider post 1/1/2024. But if the scenario then comes forward that no blanket waiver, either no waiver at all, that, you know, only residents can apply for new jobs or new openings, or case by case, each one waived, not waived, then I think what I'm understanding is that the mechanism, the preference mechanism, just wouldn't have any effect at all. You have to be a resident to compete unless it's waived. If there's no waiver, we're only going to look at residents, and the points has no effect for that particular hire.
If you had a hire where everyone in the hire was a resident, then you're right. The points would be equal. Well, they'd be equal to everyone that was submit the documentation. Mm-hmm.
But absent a waiver, either a blanket or a case by case, absent a waiver, nobody can legally be in that pool unless they are a resident.
That's not true, because you would still have internal applicants that are non-residents.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Okay, I understand. Thank you.
So you would either have three types of applicants with a residency requirement, or potentially four types of applicants in this scenario, if you have a residency waiver.
So I just want to make a point here that, I mean, there's been suggestion that every time we have a new board, it's going to change. And I don't know if that's necessarily true, because if we have a second reading and we approve this and then the council approves it, it's going to be a personnel rule. And so it's not going to be changing every time we have another board. And any suggestion that that's the way it's going to happen, I don't see that's what's going to be happening, unless the board decides to keep changing the personnel rules.
Oh, I didn't mean to suggest that the rules would change.
Well, no. I didn't say that you mm-hmm. made that suggestion. Mm-hmm. I think there was some suggestion or some implication along those lines that this was going to be changing every time we had a new board. And it's not the way we're doing this. That's, I don't see that happening.
Not
it's going to become a rule. And once it's a rule, obviously it's part of the law of the city of Tacoma.
But what would change, kind of based on what I was just exploring with board member Heller, what could change is a future board's approach to blanket waiver or individual case by case waiver. So, and you could have a different, application, I guess, of this now static rule, depending on if the board was saying only residents can apply because we're not granting a blanket waiver or any waiver, that scenario could change versus a future board saying blanket waiver for 5-year increments or whatever. I mean, that would make a difference in the application of the rule, but it wouldn't make a difference as to the rule. Is what I was trying to explore, and I think that's correct.
Mm-hmm.
But
okay,
yeah,
But I also agree that once, you know, if the city council, you know, if it all gets to the end of the day and the city council codifies it, it goes into the municipal code and it remains there until somebody takes it out.
So we have over a month to work on a draft of this rule. And you know, we do have, I don't know if you want to take the lead on that, Ms. Lance, and drafting the rule. We do already have some suggestions to changes. I don't know if you, did you want to take a lead on that?
I'm happy to do that. I certainly don't want to, you know, take over any drafting from Board Member Heller. And least of all, I want to redraft it or tweak with it in a way that changes its meaning. So as long as she and I could work together.
Yeah, that'd be great. And I think all of us can have the opportunity on our own initiative to contact you as the lead to give suggestions. And then you and Amy can work on whether or not those suggestions, you know, making those suggestions part of the rule. Ms. Beidleman?
May I just ask a clarifying question? Were you suggesting that with this rule change that non-residents would not be able to take the exam, so we would just not consider any non-residents for employment?
No.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify that.
So not currently, there is a waiver. So it you know, non-residents, residents, it does not matter. If in January the residency is back in place, then of course the residency would have to apply and you would have to have a waiver to do that. But that was not my intent to say that non-residents couldn't take the exam.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if I may, Chair, just in terms of process, we've talked about first and second reading. And first reading would be in November, which is appropriate because the board's rules say that this can't be considered first reading because it's a special meeting. So it has to be at a regular meeting. So first reading is really just to announce it. And as we've been talking about it, it doesn't have to be in this form. We can work offline and get, you know, to maybe even, you know, I don't know. I think we'd have to get to one thing that's presented for first reading. And then assuming that, you know, it's really just information, almost informational. There's no voting or anything. And it's at second reading that, you know, amendments are offered, you know, and then whatever emerges from that is voted on as the final product of the board to submit to the city council. That's my interpretation.
So one clarifying point,
mm-hmm.
at least in the past, when we had first reading, we did open it up to ongoing discussion and comments by members of the public so that we could take that into account with any amendments to the proposal going forward into second reading. So it's the intent of the first reading, second reading is so that you have opportunities, lots of discussion, and so that all parties and stakeholders can be heard so that we can improve the proposal so that it's the best possible.
I have a question, Board Member Heller. You said that non-residents would not be excluded from applying for positions with the City of Tacoma. Is that what you said? Or
this language would not in and of itself exclude non-residents for applying if there was a waiver where they could.
Oh, if there's a waiver.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's because the first part of the rule says no person shall be eligible for employment who is not a resident. So, okay. Thanks. Do we have any further discussion on this issue?
Well, Mr. Chairman, the rest of that, provided the Civil Service Board may waive such residence requirements for employees in the classified city service when such a waiver is deemed to be for good and sufficient reason, among which the following shall be sufficient, and then there's two items and below that. So it's in the charter, right?
I know that's it is. I don't know. I'm not sure what your point was on that, but yeah, it is.
Well, Mr. Chairman, pardon me. I thought you didn't know where the waiver requirement was. And I would just point it out. You read the first line, and then the next line, there it is.
Oh, no, I wasn't talking about that. I'm sorry. I didn't make that clear. I wasn't talking about that.
Okay.
Do we have any further discussion on this issue? Okay, so as it stands...
there's a motion on the floor.
What's that?
There's still the motion on the floor.
Okay. And could you go ahead and we had the discussion, okay? Could you restate your motion, please?
Sure. My motion was to set this forward, this proposal, for first reading as amended over the course of the next. I'll change it a little bit to say. Since we've all acknowledged that we're going to work to improve some of this language a bit. So this in concept, a proposal very similar to this or this will be put forward for first reading for November's regular meeting.
Okay. And I believe that motion has already been seconded.
Yeah.
All in favor of the motion say aye.
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 All opposed say nay.
Nay.
I had a question. Having not sat on this board before and recognizing you're going to work on it, if I vote yes or no now, can I vote yes or no when I actually see the final product?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, no. Yeah. By advancing it for first reading, okay. No board member is committed to continuing to support whatever emerges.
And based on how I heard the vote, my vote doesn't mean anything anyway. So at this point, I'll abstain.
Okay. And then we'll have a final vote at the December meeting for the second reading. And that at that point, you can vote however you feel. Okay.
Can I just...
Vote early and vote often.
As we're getting close to wrapping up, as we go forward on this, I think what we agreed on is I can sort of be the point person. Wendy can help me with that. What I would like to just remind board members of is keep your communications inflowing to me and Wendy, and don't talk to one another. One and one is fine, but don't get more than two of you together, and that includes in email. So just be cautious of that. So, you know, I'm happy to gather in things and push them back out. They can be pushed back out to the full board and then individual comments brought back in. So
our email should be to you only, but however we can discuss these issues with one individual board member.
Correct.
At a time. Yes. Right. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, just to remind the board, the Open Meeting Act, I believe three of us is a meeting, you know, so as counsel was describing, it's permitted, it's fine for, you know, two of us to talk. But, you know, if three of us our meeting on this subject, then it's a meeting, and that would go against the Open Meeting Act.
I just would add just one thing. That's absolutely correct, Board Member Sexton. But on the related topic of public records, all of the communications between any and all of you in any number are in fact public records. So just remember as much.
Thank you. Okay, well, it looks like that we don't have anything further on this issue. We also have on the agenda a discussion of changes to the Tacoma Municipal Code. And I think Director Fritz was contemplating initiating some changes or initiating discussion on changes. And if we can start on that tonight, or if you, you know, want some more time to initiate discussion on that, we can do that in November as well.
Thank you. Sorry, it takes a minute for this to turn on. I think that agenda item was related to the residency requirement specifically. What you're talking about, I think, is planned for a future study session.
Okay.
That's my recollection.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm not sure what that refers to myself now. Discussion on changes to, I don't know. Okay, so.
It was to make certain that you had clarity at this special meeting to have an agenda item where you could discuss Board Member Heller's proposal, because that was the problem at the last meeting. It wasn't on the agenda.
Okay. So on the agenda for November, we should have the first reading of the proposed rule. So that should be part of the agenda. And then also, I think we can at that meeting in November also initiate discussion on some of your ideas regarding changes to the personnel rules.
I will unfortunately be absent from that meeting on vacation.
Well, you can appear by Zoom during your vacation.
Sorry. I'm going to have to say no on that one.
Well, it was no harm in the asking anyway.
Right. As you should.
Board Member Klein.
Yes, Chairman Hansen, since I've not been through this process specifically before, is the public notified automatically so we don't have to take action, or would they have to simply look at our minutes to see it, or is there a reach out in any way? And is it on our agenda? Does it actually go on our agenda, public hearing?
That's a very good question. And we do need to have or give stakeholders the opportunity to provide input. And I'm not sure where these meeting notices go and who's copied in on those.
We have a distribution list. One goes out to internal members of the city of Tacoma. We have for special meetings such as this, the notice is distributed at least 24 hours in advance. It goes out to special press, which includes several of the news channels and stations. And that list of contacts is the same that the city clerk's office uses for the city council meetings. Then we also have an external distribution list, which goes out to our labor partners and folks like that.
Okay, great. I'm wondering why the Clearwire News is not out here right now, given that they received notice of the meeting. But
they're waiting by your car.
So I guess just to follow up on Board Member Klein's question, as Ms. Hobson said, that it's a regular meeting, so you know, it's all of your stakeholders presumably know that you're going to meet. They do have access to your agenda. We certainly will call out as an agenda item and attach a copy of, you know, what's going to be voted on. That'll get distributed to them. But that being said, if any of, you know, board members, staff, you know, whoever has stakeholders that you feel would be valuable and that you want to have them here, reach out to them. I think that's totally appropriate.
Okay, at this point, I believe we discussed everything, and we do have an opportunity for comments by the public. That's next on the agenda. And we do have some individuals in the room, a couple of people, and some people who are appearing by Zoom. If you'd like to make a comment at this time, please feel free to do so. Okay. Hearing nothing, I would like Is there a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Thank you all for this extra meeting. I appreciate you all being here and taking your time. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.